Okay, we are in Heavenly Places, page 94, if you actually have the booklet. And the title is Reflecting God's Love, and it's, of course, for March 28th, because that's today's date. And it says, it starts off with Psalm 67, verse 3. And boy, I tell you, this is, answer to prayer for a lot of people, because, with the emails I get. And even for myself, because the Lord has helped me in an amazing way over the years with my anger. And but something I've been praying for quite some time now is I want more and more and more and more of His love. I want to reflect more and more and more. And yeah, when you pray like that, the enemy of souls is going to do everything he can to push your buttons by using those around you, And so you'll find when you pray prayers like this, especially if you had anger problems in the past, you're going to have to learn how to count to 10 quite often. And it's not that you don't know how to count to 10, it's that you got to bite your tongue quite often. And so, anyway, Psalm 67, verse 3 says, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." And then she says, as Christians, we ought to praise God more than we do. We ought to bring more of the brightness of His love into our lives, as by faith we look to Jesus, His joy and peace are reflected from the countenances. And here's another thing I've noticed, too, when you praise Him or even just get used to being with Him. I remember when I was a young Christian, and I praise the Lord that before my mom and dad died, they appeared to have a change of heart in regards to Jesus and how real Christians acknowledge Him. And I say that because of what happened 40 years ago, I think, 30 or 40 years ago. And I think it was about 30 years ago, maybe a little less, because I had already left the Catholic Church. I had become a Christian. And I was still a Sunday keeper, though. And I was invited to go see this Christmas play. I still thought Christmas was okay, too, back then, too. I was green. And, I wasn't a year or two a Christian. And I went to go see this Christmas play at my brother-in-law's church. And he was one of the guys that I watched that actually convinced me that Jesus Christ was real. Because I was looking for a way to get this turmoil out of my life, and I wanted the peace. And I knew Christ, because I used to talk to Him when I was a kid, walking around on the prairies when I was looking for, snakes or frogs or turtles or whatever. But when I became a young man, I, of course, forgot all about. Well, I didn't forget all about Him, but I just didn't walk the way I did anymore, because most of the bullies in the area beat it out of me. And but now I had grown to such an extent that the bullies wouldn't mess with me no more, but I wanted the peace now. And we were invited to this Christmas play because my brother-in-law looked like Jesus in accordance to how the Catholic Church illustrates Him. That is not what Jesus looks like, by the way. He doesn't have the long brown hair. He didn't take the vow of a Nazarene. That's something Samson did in his day. Jesus didn't have to take that kind of a vow. And anyway, but Bob, that was his name. His name was Bob. He's still alive. His name is Bob. And I watched him. And anyway, he invites us to the play, and he plays Jesus in it and stuff like that. And on the way home, because my parents went with too, I was able to talk them into going. I says, "Hey, come on, he's going to be on the stage, come on, Mom, Dad." And so they came. They actually went. It was shocked the daylights out of all of us, because my mom and dad are devout Catholics. Didn't want anything to do with their church, my brother-in-law's church, because it was, I wouldn't say anti-Catholic, but Bob was kind of anti-Catholic. I mean, he even took the statue of Mary and threw it at the wall and it exploded when he found Christ. And my sister, who was his wife at the time, still is his wife, kept putting these statues of Mary all over the house. And he finally took one and threw it at the wall. And he never hit her or nothing like that. He wasn't that kind. Even though if he would have killed her. He's 6'5", 6'6". She was, I think, 5 foot nothing. And on the way home, they were complaining. My mom and dad were complaining about us. What is it with the praise the Lord this and the praise the Lord that? Every time I do, everybody around us is praise the Lord, Lord, Lord. Every Jesus this, Jesus. And I thought, because I'd only been a Christian a year or two, and I thought, wow, I'm glad I'm out of that church. I am glad I'm out of that Catholic church, because I was one of those who were saying praise the Lord. I mean, you know, the stuff that they were showing and saying and stuff like that. And when you, like she's saying here, when you look to Jesus and you look to his joy and you look to his peace and you reflect upon his countenance, you can't help yourself but to share your faith with him. And this kind of reminds me, like today when I was talking to some person on the phone, I had to call somebody in regards to some refund for some camera. And I was explaining to them, I don't know what it was, but I was able to, you know, mention my faith and stuff like that, and talk of Jesus. And I was noticing as I was talking, how I was talking, and I was thinking, wow, 30 years ago, I never would have said stuff like this on the phone, especially to a stranger, because I was shy about sharing my faith. And now it just becomes second nature. And this is where I've noticed a lot of you are, too, and I praise God for that, because a lot of people, when they first find Christ, they're a little bit shy to get out there and talk about Jesus on the street, or talk about Jesus with a friend here or a friend there, or even a sibling or something like that, you know? It's like, especially in today's world, when Jesus is actually a swear word for most people. And so, anyway, she goes on to say that how earnestly we should seek so to relate ourselves to God that our faces may reflect the sunshine of his love. When our souls are vivified by the Holy Spirit, we shall exert an uplifting influence upon others who know not the joy of Christ's presence. And this is one of the reasons that I believe that I can't contain myself when I speak of him. And it really does affect some people sometimes. Like that cop I was talking to a couple, 3 weeks ago. I couldn't get the guy to crack a smile. It was like a concrete face, you know, because, you know, I was just talking to him. We were going back and forth. I didn't get pulled over or nothing like that. He was just reading a VIN for me. And while we were getting towards the end, and I actually wrote the track. I haven't printed it yet. I haven't done the graphics on it yet, so please pray for me on this. I'm going to write a track that's more or less just says, thank you, officer. Because when you're on the road, if I get pulled over, I'm going to hand every, even if the guy gives me a ticket, I'm going to hand him this track that says, thank you, officer. And I'm going to have in there, of course, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. And more or less, you know, this guy, I was talking to him for like 15, 20 minutes, and I couldn't get him to crack a smile, but towards the end, and I said, I want to thank you. And he goes, for what? This is, you know, I'm just reading. I says, no, not for that. I want to thank you for what you do, because you are, or I don't know if you know this. I'm hoping you do, because, you know, out here in the boonies, most cops are really nice and really religious, too, for that matter. I says, but you are ordained of God to do what you're doing. It says in scriptures in chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 of the book of Romans, that you are ordained by God, just like I am. I'm a preacher. You're a police officer. And he actually looked up at me and looked me right in the eyes, and he smiled. And I thought, whoa, that was nice. And so they will, you know, you'll be surprised, especially with guys like this. I mean, I didn't expect it. It's like the one time I was talking to a big burly guy, and he started crying. I didn't expect that. So you'd never really know who you're dealing with. So, but when you have Christ's presence upon you and you try to keep it, you know, you try to walk with him as best you can throughout the day, all day long, it will become second nature to reflect his love. And it will affect some people, especially in today's world, because they're looking. They're all looking now, especially because most of them hate Christians, so they like to look for ways to shut us down or ridicule us or point fingers at us. But the other half, they're, just like the prophecies are stating, there's going to be a lot of people that are watching you to see, does God really exist? Because it's eventually going to get to the point where there's three people on earth. People that are headed to heaven, people that are headed to hell, and people that are on the fence. And the people that I believe that are on the fence are the ones that are going to come over to our side. They're not going to go over to the atheistic side. They're going to come over to our side. And the seekers, the true, genuine seekers, because everybody else just could care less. You know, the lazy type believers, if you will, or the Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 kind of Christians, or the lukewarm Christians that Revelation speaks of. Anyway, she goes on. She says, the Lord is not pleased to have his people a band of mourners. And this is what always irked me about Roman Catholic priests. What's up with the black clothing? What's up with the black robes with the nuns? Oh, we're in mourning for our Savior's death. Hey, newsflash. He's off the cross. He resurrected. But they want to keep the people... I mean, look, the Catholic Church is the only church out there that literally has him dead, hanging on a crucifix. All the other churches have blank crucifixes or crosses. I don't think you should have any, to be honest with you, because it's just a symbol of Baal. It's an offering to Baal on a wooden cross. That's all it is. It's a symbol of the sun god Baal. It's just got an extended end to bring it up off the ground, because it's just a plus sign. So, as she says, he wants them to repent of their sins that they may enjoy the liberty of the sons of God. Then they will be filled with the praises of God and will be a blessing to others. And a lot of people miss this. They think when you become a Christian, you got to get out the spiritual hammer and the spiritual nails and go out and start building the stairway to heaven. And no, that's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about walking with Christ and be fruitful and multiply kind of a thing and just be content with life and be, you know, walk with him in life no matter what station in life he has you in. Oh, but I'm looking for something to do for him. Well, two things. Number one, what is it you love to do? And number two, do it. or just like when I first started in ministry, I had no idea what he wanted me to do. So I just said, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna say, wait on you. You're eventually gonna lead me to where you'll have me doing what you need me to do. Then you look back 10 or 15, 20 years later, and says, oh, so that's what you wanted me to do, huh? He says, well, so you're just doing it, you know? And so, but the main thing is live your life, be happy. It doesn't matter if you're a ditch digger or a CEO. Live it with Christ, and everything will work out fine, because he needs where he has you now. Now, if he needs you to move on in life and to be, you know, to do this or to quit your job or you can go further in a job, whatever the case may be, he's going to put you where he needs you to, as long as you're obedient to his hand nudging you in life. Because he's going to nudge you. Trust you. Trust him. He's going to nudge you. She goes on to say that the Lord Jesus was anointed to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. Isn't that neat? Prophetic symbolism right there. So she goes on, Isaiah goes on. It says, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. And then it says, that he, Christ Jesus, might be glorified. Oh, that this might be the purpose of our lives. Then we should have regard even to the expression of our countenance, to our words, and even to the tone of our voice when we speak. And now here... I don't know. It's like some people can hear the tone of your voice. It's just like with emails sometimes, but sometimes the tone of your voice can really make a difference. I've noticed that in my life, but still, if it's how you talk, other people around you have to realize that's just how that person talks, kind of thing, too. Because it seems sometimes that I have... here's the weird thing. I can do this on the street with the exact same tone that I do around people that have known me for decades. And the people that have known me for decades think I'm angry, whereas the people on the street don't. But could it be because they don't forget how I used to be? And that's just how it's going to be. You know, that's just the way it's going to be. And I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but we know what happened when he walked into his neighborhood. They saw the carpenter's son. They didn't see Messiah. They only look at what was in the past. It's like when I go into my old neighborhood, right after I found Christ, they saw the guy that used to shoot stick and biker bars, and they didn't see a Christian. And so it was like pulling teeth to get anybody to listen, and no one would, of course. And so I still pray. I still do as I can, but waiting on that latter rain to fall more abundantly before I go knocking on any doors out there, I got to tell you, because I've beaten down every door that I could, and there's not much you can do. Yeah, that too. A lot, especially with, that's a good example. When Saul became Paul, boy, how about it? We know what it says in the Word. They had a hard time with him right off the bat because they didn't see Paul. They saw Saul. So she goes on to say that the melody of praise is the atmosphere of heaven, and when heaven comes in touch with the heart, with the earth, there is music and song. thanksgiving, and the voice of melody, it says in Isaiah 51:3. So let there be singing in the home, of songs that are sweet and pure, and there will be fewer words of censure, and more of cheerfulness, hope and joy. As our Redeemer leads us to the threshold of infinite flushed, of the infinite flushed with the glory of God, we may catch the themes of praise and thanksgiving from the heavenly choir round about the throne. And as the echo of the angels' song is awakened in our earthly homes, hearts will be drawn closer to the heavenly singers. Heaven's communion begins on earth. We learn here its keynote. And that's very important, especially for those of us that are striving on into that perfection, because we know our characters aren't going to change when we come out of the grave. We're going to go in the grave with the, like if we die before Jesus gets here, some of us will be martyred or just plain die for whatever reason. And some of us, if this is the generation that he comes to, are going to be part of the Gideon band that will never die. Well, then you won't have a character issue then. But let's just say you die beforehand. Whatever your character is when you lay down, it's going to be what you have when you get up. And even with the latter rain, too. It could be falling all around you. You won't even notice it. I mean, look what's happening today. It's like Jesus said. They're going to be marrying, giving in marriage, building, planting, eating, partying, or whatever, when the eastern sky splits. And look what's happening today. I mean, try this. And, you know, I've done this a few times, and I'm sure some of you have noticed it, too. I've gotten phone calls and emails about this, how you could be in a shopping mall and just stand against the wall one day and look at the people as they go by and watch the expression on their faces and watch what listen to what they're talking about and just look at life in general, and it's like no one knows what time it is. The overwhelming grand majority of the people out there have no idea we are that close to the end of the world. So, we got a lot of work to do. So, anyway, I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.